introduce each other out of mutual respect for one another. I just want to say that he's a dear friend of mine. I don't need to introduce him. And it's a friendship I very much cherish. And he's a very, very busy individual, busy rabbi. So we appreciate the few moments he's taken out to share with us some words of Torah, some words of chizik. So thank you so much, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you all for coming to learn Torah this evening. It's always a pleasure to be on the same screen as Rabbi Levin. That's how we connect these days, to always share in Torah initiatives together, to be able to be Marbitz Torah together, which is something we've been doing together for a long time, and we should be zocha to do it for a long, long time going forward. So we're supposed to be learning some Mishnah from the first perek of Pirkei Avos, and I thought to focus on a Mishnah that maybe, I don't know if this is what would have been the first one to come to mind. I got a phone call today. Let's even start before that. When we were first struck with the realization that our shuls were going to be closed and that we were not going to be able to get out of our homes too much and that we were going to be spending a lot of time at home, we had a call with Dr. Pelkovitz, and Dr. Pelkovitz said that one of the early findings coming out of China, and we were all expecting the end of the sentence to be something about the virus, something medical, you know, because that's all anyone was thinking about, he said, was that the divorce rate went way, way up right after the entire quarantine period and stay-at-home period was over. And that was somewhat jarring. And he said, you know, we have to be on guard and we have to make sure that such a thing doesn't happen in our community. That, and then today I received a phone call from someone who's involved with cases of domestic abuse and said that there's a real crisis as a result of the fact, or partially as a result of the fact, that people are home all the time. And on the flip side of things, in a much more positive sense, we're also finding families that are connecting in ways that they've never connected before. Families that are singing Zemiros and never sang Zemiros before, that are doing things together they would never do before, playing children who were at each other's throats, all of a sudden they're their only choice for friends, and they're playing games together, and they're enjoying each other's company, and it's a unique opportunity for Shalom Bayis as well. So the Mishnah I wanted to focus on is Mishnah Hey in the first parak of Pirkei Avos. Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim Omer Yehi Beischa Pasuach L'Revacha. Your house should be open wide, meaning always have a lot of guests for you, Aniyim B'nei Veisecha. Poor people should always be welcome in your home. Va'altar besicha ima isha. And then it says, and don't talk too much with women. Okay, I can handle that. But then that astonishing line. Be'ishto amru kalvuchomer be'ishas chaveru. You shouldn't talk too much with your wife, let alone with somebody else's wife. So that's an astonishing line. I've been teaching chasm classes for well over a decade, and never do I learn this Mishnah with the chasm. I never say, you know, b'ishtom, you're not allowed to talk too much to your wife. To the contrary, I seem to go directly against this Mishnah. It's important, you should have date night, you should get together with your wife, even in a non-pressurized environment, and go out, even if you can't afford it, take a walk on the boardwalk together, do something just to spend time together, just to schmooze, just the two of you, directly, seemingly against this Mishnah. B'ishto amru, kal v'chomer b'ishas chavero. And then what's the very next line, what's the follow-up to that? Mikan amru chachamim kol zman shodamar b'sicha m'isha, Gorim ra ala atzmo ubotam l'divrei Torah v'sofu yorish gehenim. It doesn't look good for a guy who's mar besicha ima isha, and again, this includes his own wife, causes evil to himself. He's going to be mevatel midivrei Torah, and ultimately he's going to inherit Gehenim. So there must be something more than what's at the surface over here. So one of my Talmidim, the great thing about teaching outstanding Talmidim, is that when you have to give a Pirkei Avos shiur and you haven't had 3 minutes to think about it, you say, no, who's got something good on the first parak of Pirkei Avos? So one of my Talmidim, future Rabbi Yoni Abrams, said to me today that Rav Shamsher Rafael Hirsch has a fascinating comment about Altar B'Sicha Misha, and then when I actually did have 2 minutes to look around, it turns out he's not the only one that says this. The term sicha in Chazal does not just mean talking. Dibur means talking. Amira means talking. Sicha has a unique connotation. What do we say? That sichas chulin shel afilu sichas chulin shel tamidei chachamim tzrichin limud. We talk about sicha betela. Sicha doesn't mean talk. Sicha means small talk. It means idle chatter. It means stam, just talking for the sake of talking. That's the chiddush, that afilu sichas chulin of Talmidei Chachamim tzrichen limud, because the Talmud Chacham is so enveloped in Torah that everything he says is laced with Torah. Even what sounds like a sichas chulin is really, really based in Torah. But sicha is what we're focused on over here. Al tabra sicha imi isha. And maybe, and this is what my Talmud told me in the name of Rav Sham Shmuel Hirsch, I happen to not have the commentary of Rav Sham Shmuel Hirsch on Pirkei Avos, although all you need is a commentary of Rav Sham Shmuel Hirsch on the Siddur, because it turns out, as my Talmud pointed out, anyone who has a commentary on the Siddur has a commentary on Pirkei Avos, because it's in every Siddur. So Rav Sham Shmuel Hirsch points out that maybe what Chazal are trying to tell us over here is don't waste the opportunity to have meaningful conversation with your wife. Al tar b'sicha ime isha, b'ishto amru. Even b'ishto, you married a woman who is a balas bina yaseira. You married a woman about who the Gemara Maseches Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis tells us that ha'oev is ishto kegufo, v'mechab de yosem migufo. If you love your wife like yourself, you honor her more than yourself, and you're madrich banav v'benosav b'derech yishar, and you raise children together in a meaningful partnership, and masiyan samach l'pirkan, and you inspire those children to want to be married, because they want to experience the life that they've seen in their home growing up. So they want to get married as soon as they can. Then you know that you have proper shalom in your tent. You married a woman about whom it says, the Gemara tells us, in Maseches Bamitzia Daf Nun Tes, La'olam yehi adam zahir b'kvod ishto, she'en bracha mitzuya b'toch beiso shel adam ela b'shvil ishto. One has to be so careful about the covet of his wife, because all bracha in his house is only on account of his wife, and we learn that from no less a figure in Jewish history than Avram Avinu. That Avram hativ ba'avura. Why did Avram experience good? Why did he experience wealth? Why did he have the success that he had? Ba'avura! Not because he was Avram Avinu, you would think it's ba'avura also, that he had some of his own zuchuyos. No, his success was ba'avura. V'hainu damalu rava l'bnei mechuzah, that if you want to become wealthy, you better respect your wives. You better show them extra honor. And part of that respect is valuing their opinion about things that really matter. If every conversation is just sicha, it's just small talk, it's just chatter, it's just lashon hara, it's just whatever someone did to you that day, and it's not meaningful, and when there's a real decision to not really take, you know, I as I mentioned, I've been teaching Hassan for a long time, and the truth is, it only happened more recently. I've always been saying, like, the biggest midah you need to have is to be a mevater. To be a mevater, you have an opinion, your wife might have a different opinion, 99.9% of the time, it pays to be mevater. And I always believe that I practice what I preach, that I'm always mevater. My kids always know growing up, if they ever want anything, they ask me, and I say three words, ask the boss, right? It's not up to me. That's always, that's like a yisoda yisodos. Then I realized at some point more recently that I was all wrong. Because you see, I thought all those years that what I was striving to do was to be a tzaddik. That I was striving to be someone who was so righteous that even when I was right, I was willing to be mevater. And it took me way too long, I'm a slow learner, to realize that I wasn't striving to be a tzaddik, I was striving not to be a shaita. She's always right. It's not like, even though I'm right, I'm mevater. Women have bina yaseira. They see things that I don't see. They pick up on nuances. My wife picks up on nuances that I would never pick up on. I'm not as socially astute. I don't realize. I don't read the facial expressions like she does. I don't know that that person's upset about something, and she's able to see it. And what we have to realize is that it's not about being mevater. It's about being a pikeach, being wise enough to know that you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to connect with someone whose opinion really matters. So don't waste it on sicha. And what happens when we waste it on sicha? We begin talking about other people. We begin talking about, oh, you're not going to believe what my boss did to me today. Halavai, we should be able to have such conversations again. But we talk about, you know, this one wronged me and that one did something to me. And there are two results of such conversations. One result is that your wife loses respect for you, because you're always getting into fight. Why can't you just get along with people? Why can't you just do what your boss wants so that you're not going to risk your job by giving him attitude? And the second result often is, and this is in the best of relationships, that she's never going to be able to figure out, to forgive, even after you're able to forgive. Very often I've seen it where two men are in a terrible dispute and they bring it home, and their wives used to be best of friends. And long after the men have buried the hatchet, so to speak, long after they've made up and they've gotten past their differences, the wives still won't speak to each other. Much, much harder for it to get past something like that. That's what sicha leads you to. That's where sicha, whether someone put it in the chat, I don't know if Rav Hirsch says it or not, whether Rav Hirsch says it or not, but the point is that I think it's still a valid point not to waste that opportunity with one's wife. And let me just make one more point over here. The link to the beginning of the Mishnah is interesting also, because it starts out by saying, they should always have guests in your house. What does that relate to, how one relates to their wife? And the answer seems to be, Rav Lau points this out in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, that Rav Lau, who's probably one of the most inspiring men of our generation, points out that the work involved in the mitzvah of hospitality is primarily going to fall on the shoulders of the wife. The husband wants to be friendly and invite everyone, but ultimately, she's the one usually that has to do all the work. And therefore, it is natural for a woman to have more reluctance to open up her home. And therefore, it's a husband's job to know that his wife has many more reasons than he does to be hesitant about opening up the home, and has to be sensitive to that. And not just to that, but that's an example of the kinds of things that he has to be sensitive to. You see, people can be manipulative. People know how to get the answers that they want to get. And the goal when dealing with other people, with our chaverim, and certainly with our spouses, should never be to try to get the answer that you want to get. A good lawyer knows how to elicit the answers that he's looking for. A Yirei Shamayim should elicit the answers that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking for. And we have in this week's parsha, Rashi tells us that when the Shaila is asked about Nigei Batim, he says, Kanega. Nearly babais, that it was kanega. You're not allowed to say nega. Even if the guy's a Talmud Chacham and he knows what a nega looks like, he can only say kanega. And one of the explanations of why that might be is that to say nega is too suggestive of trying to get a certain response out of or altering the response that you're going to get. A person, when dealing with somebody else, has to know, when dealing especially with a spouse, has to know not to try to manipulate the conversation in a certain direction, but to be totally, totally objective about it. And then you'll get a real approach, a real opinion from the other party. And I'll just close with a story. Last year, Rav Asher Weiss visited our community and had the opportunity to have Friday night Suda with him at the Schechter house, and then afterwards we were walking somewhere, maybe we were walking home from Shul, I don't remember exactly. I remember we were walking outside, and there was a guy who was about to get married, who was a week or two away from getting married, and he asked Rav Asher Weiss for advice in marriage. And Rav Asher said, always put her interests before your own. So the guy said, oh, that's great, okay. What else? Anything else? And Rav Asher said, no, that's it. Idach perusha zil gemar. Everything else is commentary. That's it. Always put her interests before your own. And that's the message that Avram Avinu says to Sarah, shalosh se'im kemach, and then soles. He first sees, is she okay with a lesser ask, with kemach? Kemach is not as fine flour. And she was okay with that. And only once he felt out the situation, and he saw that she was happy to host these guests, then soles, then let's do it right, let's host them properly. But to always be sensitive to what her feelings are. So these days and weeks, while they're not what we asked for, that's for sure, they're not what we were looking forward to, and they're not what we expected, but they do provide us with certain opportunities. And one such opportunity is the ability to enhance our relationships within the house, even as we have a hard time connecting outside of the home. To enhance those very valuable relationships, those important relationships, saltar b'sicha in ma'isha, but maybe we should be marba, valuable conversations, real conversations, conversations that will make a difference in our lives, with our wives, with our children, and we should be zocha b'ez Hashem to shalom bayis, and see a day soon, bekarov, where we're able to expand that shalom beyond the walls of our own homes to the rest of Klal Yisrael.
Thank you very, very much.